Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio series. This series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each presentation features a different national speaker or business owner sharing dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This is part two of a two-part series covering the last eight website mistakes that most companies make. If you want a website that produces rather than simply is costing you money, this presentation is for you. There are 16 common mistakes that most small business owners make when having their websites created. This presentation will cover the last eight mistakes, including very specific information on how to fix those problems. There's also a bonus section at the end covering the seven must-have things that each homepage should contain. If you've not listened to part one, be sure you do. And now, here's part two.
All right, real quick, we're going to take a look at my website and we're going to see what my most wanted response is. We know what that is, to glean information, right? Education, or educating my customers or my prospects, is exactly what I want to do. I want to educate you with information you need, not necessarily information I want to give you. That's going to lead us to mistake number nine. No tools, nothing to overcome your visitor skepticism. The average person or consumer, especially consumer, is extremely skeptical, especially about the internet. Now, we're taught to be highly skeptical, okay, of anybody selling anything, and you know that. And on the internet, that skepticism is like way up here compared to what it is in one-on-one places, right? Your biggest hurdle, okay, is to online is to overcome that visitor skepticism. Now, we're going to go back to our example. Remember the search we did with April Air? We're going to kind of go back with that indoor air quality search. And we're going to take that section right there, and we're going to look at that. And that says we've got a section that we're going to work with. Look at this. Wow. What a huge amount of support for your sales message here on indoor air quality from this company. And I don't care what company you have. All of your vendors are going to have a significant amount of research and stuff you can glean to use this. So it doesn't matter if you're in the HVAC plumbing business, like I said, chiropractic business, doesn't matter. This information is available from all of your vendors, all of your associations. You can get this information anywhere. Now, any type of business with any type of product can find this kind of third-party support material. Okay, you just have to spend a little time using a little knowledge researching it. That's all. And that's your job. Your job is to find that information to convey it to your clients, right? The following are several elements that will increase your credibility and install a sense of trust and believability to your prospects. So get a pencil out. We're going to write some of these elements down. The first element I got here, okay, is provide full contact information to your clients. I mean full contact information. Now, at the bottom of each of our web pages, you should display your full contact information. Now, here on JM's site, okay, we see the phone numbers, right? And on the Nearing site, we see the phone numbers, and that's fine. However, we don't see a street address. We don't see a physical address. And that can be a little disturbing. You know, you could put the areas in, and a JM does put the areas that they do work in, but they should also have a street address. This gives credibility that, you know, we're located, and here we are, and here's what we do, and that kind of thing. So I'm going to add a third example in here. Okay, I'm going to add a third example website in here that I just found over the break here. So we're going to take a look at this third example. And it's called Service Champions, okay? Look at this company's website. Bingo, this company has four cities that it services in. All their cities have a separate web area, and all of their cities have the addresses on, location there. So they you can actually see where they're located. So we're going to install this for the rest of our seminar, I think. So we're going to go to a second element here. Include an About Us page, okay? I found that my About Me, or you know, about what makes us different page, is the highest traffic page I have on my website. It's the page that, you know, that's the page everybody wants to go. What makes us different, or about us, or Meet Rich. They want to see that because there's some videos, some information about my background on there. That page is the highest traffic page I have. Why? Because people are curious. They want to know who they're going to be doing business with. Having an About Us page tells your visitors that you have no problem revealing who you are. You know, you're putting yourself out there. You're not hiding anything. Now, that's not necessarily true on a lot of websites. And people are very skeptical about who to do business with. But in the service business, and we're dealing with locals, so in the service business, we need to put ourselves out there. So let's take a look and see what we've got. As we can see, the Nearing site has an About Us page, but it fails, you know, to answer that question, why should I listen to you? It really does fail that. Okay? The JM site has, it's hard to see link. There's a link on that JM site. See it? There's a link on that JM site that says company history. Again, it's pretty much unusable. Let's look at our third site here real quick. Okay? Boom! Now, I don't like the fact that the title says company here. I would rather see an About Us. And the reason I'd rather see an About Us is because people are used to seeing About Us on websites. So use what they're used to seeing. Okay? Now look at here. There's a drop-down box. And it says, look at there. It says, look, management profile. I really like that. Management profile. That's pretty interesting. Oh, look what we got here. We've got pictures of the manager or the owner of the business right there and some of his staff. Pretty good, huh? Let's talk about element three, including photos of your brick-and-mortar business or whatever. This is a good example of how we're doing it. If you have a store or an office, you might want to kind of show that, okay? And just knowing that you're doing business in an office building gives you some credibility. You have a stability. You have, you know, you're not fly by night. You're there. Your product is there. Your business is there. You got an investment. Now, no one wants to get ripped off by fly by night people, right? There you go. That's the way to do that. Here's another one. Include some testimonials. Sometimes testimonials get a little overwhelming and people don't use them correctly. But display endorsements from customers, and if you do it in video. But if you can't do it in video, always use their picture. Now this guy uses their picture with a little blurb there. So you see how he's doing that? It's really a pretty good way to do that because it shows real people as if they're talking. So it is an interactive piece there. Here's another element, a fifth element here. Using reputable merchants. Now, I know all of you use reputable vendors, but put them out there. You know, you don't have to necessarily overload that your website with that, but put them out there. Your reputable vendors, they have credibility to them, especially if they're well-known vendors, okay? Now, here's another element, sixth element, I guess. A solid guarantee. Boy, this one I can't really stress enough. A solid guarantee. One of the fears factors that consumers have is getting service and then getting response or getting their money back if their service isn't good. So having a solid guarantee is extremely important. Provide a strong guarantee that tells your visitor that you stand behind your products and services without question. There's little risk to doing business with you in that respect. Now I want to see, let's take a look at this third site. And then we'll go back and look. You see, I don't see that guarantee situation on Nearing. I don't see that guarantee on Jam. I don't see those guarantees there. But I do see something here. You see that button up there? Look at that. It says ironclad guarantee. Wow. Now that's a pretty bold statement. Ironclad guarantee. I kind of like that. It's a little over the top, but he lists the guarantee on there. It would have been better if he'd have put a video on there, him sitting at his desk telling you that guarantee. That would be really, really good. Let's take a look. I'm going to pop over to my website real quick. Here's my boot camp thing. Okay, my guarantee is like 100% risk-free 90-day money-back guarantee. And I give you 90 days to create your own marketing plan. If you don't return 10 times the amount of money you spent on it, I'm going to give you that money back 100% guaranteed. And I put it right out there. No problem. Nobody asks about it, right? Okay. Now, we want to also provide pictures of your staff if you've got some. Don't overwhelm them. Just the key elements, the key people in your staff. You might, now, the Nearing had a picture of their staff on the front, don't they? Well, that's okay as long as you don't take up too much space, but I would put that in an About Us page. I would put that on that page instead of on the front page. It's taking up valuable space on the front page, I think. People buy people, and people who work for businesses buy from people who work for businesses. It's really that simple, isn't it? The more you can include about you, your credentials, and don't go overboard here. You can have a page or an area that says, here's all of my certifications. That doesn't belong on your front page. But that's definitely what you need to do. Okay? As we saw, use this About Us page to do this. Video, really, I think video is coming into its own. It is streaming. We've got high internet access, high volume access. I think it's really something that you could do. It's really easy to do too. Now here's our eighth element: provide case studies with successful results. Now we talked about that, right? We talked about providing case studies as one of the elements. But here's an element: provide specific case studies. And I gave you a formula for that earlier. Can somebody tell me exactly? Problem, right? Solution, yeah, and results. There you go. If they see that you've helped someone else out, okay, with the same problem and there were successful results, there you go. Again, we go problem, solution, results format. It's real simple. Now, in summary, to provide your visitors with a comfort level of sufficient enough to ask about your products and services. Even pick up the phone and call you. Whatever your most wanted response is, right? You need to answer the questions that are being asked in their mind. Here's some questions that you might want to jot down. Who are you? Why should I believe you? Exactly what is your offer? How will you solve my problem? What's your competition telling me that I should know? Okay. Who else has bought your product or service, and what was their results? How do I get the product or service? What if I don't like it? Now, these are all consumer questions. They're not necessarily business-to-business questions. Business-to-business has a different kind of criteria, but consumers, when it comes to these things, these are the questions they really are asking. And these are marketing questions, basic marketing questions. That's going to lead us right into mistake number 10, okay? Content-focused only on your business. Big, huge mistake. Big, huge mistake. Here's a news flash, guys. Okay? No one cares about you or your awards. There isn't anybody sitting in here in the HVAC business that has any more awards than I have earned in 30 years I was in the business. But who cares? That and $4, I can go to Starbucks and buy myself a cup of coffee. There's a place for that, and you can put that in a place. For instance, on our About Us page. Other than that, that's all I want to talk about me. Okay? Now, we talked about this earlier. All they care about is what? How can you solve their problem? I see this problem time and again with websites. The owners, and we talked about this earlier, the owners focus their whole content on, here I am, here's what I do, instead of, I understand your problem, here's a solution, and here's what we did before when we've seen this problem, and here's the results of that. That's kind of what you need to focus on there, I think. The moment you start to understand that people just don't care about you, and that's what they really care about is what? Solving their problem. That's why they're your problem solver. That's why they call you, right? Why? Because generally speaking, deep down, people only care about themselves. Here's a reality check, okay? If I didn't educate you, you wouldn't care. You really wouldn't. And that's real, okay? I have to make sure this information is valuable to you, or I've just totally lost my credibility. That's what drives capitalism, by the way. By now, you should know that I am all about education-based marketing. So the several tactics that you can implement to make your prospects' self-interest work for you rather than against you. Take your notepad out. Here's tactic one. State your prospect's problem and then aggregate it. Stretch it out. Make them feel anxious about it. here's a step one you can do this. So believe it or not, people strangely feel better, okay, when others suffer in their anguish with them. For instance, I had most of these website problems, and this is how I learned about fixing them. Okay? Now you're relating with me, right? I'm not just standing up here telling you a bunch of theory. I had these problems, and I fixed these problems, and it works. And now maybe I connected with you. I have understanding that you're sitting here. You're spending money on your websites, and they're just not producing. And I showed you some real simple tactics to make them at least generate leads. So start out your copy by what? Confirming their feelings of anguish. Remind them of their feelings of anguish. This is basic advertising. Step two. Now that you've confirmed their feelings of anguish, kind of rub it in. Look, guys, you spent a lot of money on your websites. Some of them look really pretty, but they ain't producing anything. We have what's called authoritative websites in the service sector business. There's commerce, and then there's authoritative. Amazon.com's commerce. All the HVAC, plumbing, heating, auto repair, chiropractor, consultants, everybody else is authoritative. And you need to get your mind around those two differences there. You see, people usually won't do anything about a problem unless they feel what? A great amount of pain to do something about it. That's true, isn't it? Okay, to do this, let's explain the results of the problem. Let me show you what I mean here. Are you sick of spending money on advertising that just doesn't get the results you need? Do you have a website, but it seems to just cost you money with no income, no results? I know how you feel. I too suffered from advertising people promising me results, and all I got was excuses. I was told, like you, that my business needed a website and had one built, only to see zero return on investment. You getting this? You getting this? I'm connecting with you, aren't I? Because this is really true. My son builds websites. He built me a beautiful website. I got zero results from that website. Had all kinds of gadgets and flashes and things. He's a techno geek. I said, look, we're going back to the drawing board. There's nothing techno geek about my website. It's all about education. Here's another one. Address each potential objection in maybe a frequently asked questions. I do it through videos. But you can do it in an FAQ area. But always have tried, and you know those questions. Now, we've been in the businesses, our prospective industries, long enough to understand the sales process of answering the objections, right? Well, there you go. Make a list of them. Then make it a frequently asked questions page. Put it on there. Or better yet, do an audio or video on it. Or better yet, do a video and put it on there. Give them two choices. Envision yourself sitting down, talking to them and selling them and writing it down. Just like as if you were sitting at their dining room table or they were standing there with you at your car or whatever, right? You might even want to record yourself as though you're standing right there with the person and then put that recording on there. Here's the third tactic. Do the I and we test on all what you write. Now, there are certain times where you got to use I and we very sparingly. Try to change all the I's and we's to you and yours. That helps. That's just simple copywriting. Bad example would be this. We have won multiple industry awards for our customer service. Here's a better example. You'll receive personal attention, okay, to your personal attention you require and deserve from a team of professionals that care about you and your specific needs. So there's a little different way of saying that, right? Okay, let's get to this fourth tactic here. Show testimonials and case studies of people that have achieved positive results. We talked about this earlier. This is the time we're going to implement this now, right? Now, not to beat this horse dead, but on consumer side of the business, this is a very important tactic. It's a powerful tactic that provides to the customer their wants, needs, and desires, and it also lets them connect with other people besides you that have the same problem. That's real important. Now that's going to push us on to mistake number 11. Links, banners, pop-ups, pulling visitors away from your site. We saw that earlier with the JM site where we were pulled away to the EPA site. Not a good idea. Pull that stuff to you, not away from you. Overusing links, banners, and pop-ups can distract visitors. Like I said, use them sparingly. Keep in mind the MWR, what's your most wanted response. However, that doesn't mean you shouldn't use them, okay, in any way completely. Here are a few hints about using links, banners, pop-ups, and with minimal distractions. Hint one, put all your resource links that you've swapped with other websites on a page. Don't hide the page. That's unethical. But put them on a page. And maybe put a link to that page or a button to that page that says, visit our partners. What happens is they go to that page and they see all those links or banners or whatever you've got, right? Which is okay if you're promoting affiliate programs and that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. As I said before, you want to avoid anything that causes your visitor to leave your site. I see so much of that. Hence, don't put any links or banners on your sales page, only on your content page. Your content page should drive your visitor, what, through that path, okay, to your sales page, your closing page. Remember, each of your pathways should lead to your closing page. It's okay to have a link on your content page, but you shouldn't include anything that will distract the visitors from the buying. Only a link to make the buying decision happen, such as a contact you. I have one contractor that we put Skype on his website, and he uses Skype. And what happens is you'd be surprised at how many customers click on that link on the front and just like to actually visually talk with him. One of his dispatchers gets service calls in, and they can Skype. Boom, there they are. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Here's a third hint. Try to use popovers or exit pop-ups instead of entrance pop-ups. Now, I use an entrance pop-up. That's just me. It's a fade-in. It's really not a pop-up. It's kind of a fade-in. But pop-unders and exit pop-ups, you know, they do leverage your site a little bit better. I just don't use them as much. That's all. This means that the visitor has already seen what they want to see, and, of course, they leave. And then this little fade-in or this pop-up sitting there for them to get some, glean some information there. You just have to work with them and see how it works. Now, there's some programs out there, and we have a program out there that you can use to create these. It's real simple to do. And when your visitor returns, they won't be presented with the pop-up. For instance, if you go to my main webpage or my bootcamp webpage and you visit and the pop-up comes up, you go back, it's not going to come up because it already knows that it's come up on that browser today, and it's just not going to bother you anymore. Now, you close your browser, come back the next day or come back later. Once your cookies have been erased out of your browser, yeah, it's going to pop up again. So here's hint four. You can use static or fake banners, text, to drive visitors to your sales page. Headline text, those kind of things. Even more effective method of driving visitors to your sales page is to use text links, though. And that's kind of what I try to do, is use a text link to say, okay, here go there. Now, that's going to lead us to mistake number 12. Now, mistake number 12 is on mostly old websites and other things, and mistake number 12 is slow loading. But there's a new thing that's coming out with audio and video now that's really caused a problem. With the broadband web system that we have today, your visitor gives you sites no more than 10 seconds to come up. So make sure that it comes up 5, 10 seconds tops, everything's up and everything's ready to go, okay? Now, that means watch your graphics. Now, here's a myth. Having video on your site slows it down. That's wrong. It's large pictures and files that slow your site down, and it's auto-start videos and audios. My advice, don't auto-start. I told you we were going to talk about flash video or video and audio. Don't auto-start videos. That is worse than flash. It bogs your system down. Put it on there and let them click on it and let them start it at their own pace. Otherwise, I guarantee you, people are just going to leave. All right, let's get to 13. Okay, mistake number 13. This one's a big one. Why, with a website, you get statistical information you cannot get from any other marketing tool that you use, really. Okay? This is a matrix, and it's automatically built into every web presence. You can't improve what you don't measure, right? Only through tweaking and testing and measuring can you improve your effectiveness. Now, the following are just a few small matrices. I got about 7 matrices I'm going to suggest that you take a look at here. Okay? Think of them as the vital signs of your website, I guess. Not only do these matrices help you improve your website, but they also let you know just how much you should be willing to spend on your advertisement as well, and where you should spend it. Matrix number 1, I'm going to write this down, okay? Sell-through or conversion rate. That's a pretty simple one. Whatever you call a sale, okay, or conversion, that's what you want to take a look at. Your conversion rate is the measurement is being measured by tracking the number of visitors to your site, okay, and dividing it by the number of visitors that do whatever your most wanted response is. The second matrix is visitor value. This is another one of those calculated. Visitor value measures how much each unique visitor that comes to your site's worth. And what that means is by you basically how many come and how many do what you most want them to do. Now, here's another one that's real important. Opt-in sign-up rates. Your opt-in rate is the percentage of people, like I told you before, that sign up to whatever given program you're offering compared to how many. How many, can anybody remember what my opt-in sign-up rate has been lately? It's 40%, 4 out of 10 people. That's pretty good. I mean, I'm ecstatic about that. Fourth, traffic stats. Traffic stats could consist of any kind of number of matrix. However, knowing how many daily unique visitors come to your site is important. A fifth matrix is the source of visitors known, where your traffic's coming from, search engines, other links, that kind of thing. Your web stat package should be able to tell you which search engines you're getting from, what URLs you're getting from. For instance, you can check your affiliate programs, your joint venture programs, to see if you're actually getting any traffic, if it's benefiting you at all. Now, matrix number 6 is the average visitor time, knowing how much time your visitors spend on a certain web page. Now, this lets you know what's working and what their interests are, what not their interests are. I mean, right now we're going to see a lot of people spending time on what? Energy savings in the HVAC business. Not so much on maintenance, maybe, unless it designs itself to energy savings. So that's kind of one of those areas. Now, the 7th matrix is most viewed web pages. This is real critical because it lets you know which of your web pages are the most popular, and you can kind of figure out where your visitor interest lies, how well your visitor stays on your pathway to your closing page, that kind of stuff, and what web pages should be dropped or tweaked. Okay, I've just dropped 2 web pages from my site because they just didn't seem to have a traffic that was worthwhile, so we're rewriting them. Now, with the matrix that I just mentioned to you, you'll be able to answer several key questions, and here's some of those, okay? But perhaps the most important of these, okay, is how much each unique visitor is worth to me. That's, I think, my most important one. So I take each unique visitor, and then I figure out how much I've been able to generate in revenue at that point. This key matrix will drive all of your decisions about how much you can spend for profitably acquiring new customers. Now, that's going to lead me to the 14th mistake that's made. Okay, let's look at this, and that's focusing on a niche. Now, we saw that mistake with our 2 sample websites. They weren't focusing on any sort of niche. They were looking for heating, but they were plumbing, and you know that's not necessarily the process anymore today. Even in the Northeast, it's still not the process anymore. These are kind of separated things in people's minds. So focusing on a niche, you know, are you in the residential, commercial, light commercial? What's this website all about? Are you specializing in certain automobiles? Are you specializing in certain type of alarm systems or houses or small businesses? Whatever you're doing, okay? In the offline world, there's an old saying. If everyone is your target market, then no one's going to be your customer. And what this means is that if you're trying to target a large segment, you're trying to appeal to too many people. Most important question is still the same off the web, okay? And that is, what's in it for me, okay? What did I choose this niche? You have to ask yourself, why did I choose this niche? Not of what we do, but what's in it for me? It's a trigger, targeting niche, that you can provide to specialize your content. Because I have 30 years of business ownership, which gives me some credibility, there are a lot of service industry businesses. Small business owners usually have the money to invest. This is why I chose this target, by the way, service sector businesses. I'm kind of giving you why I chose this niche. Most service business owners are, what, dying for new clients. And there aren't many sites dedicated to helping service sector industry businesses with their marketing. It's just, you know, they want to sell you an ad program for $800, $900, $2,000, $3,000 that gives you a whole bunch of ads, but they don't tell you when to run them, how to run them, what to do. They don't tell you how to acquire customers, how to segment out your customer base. They don't tell you any of the other stuff that you need to know. They just say, here, run some of these ads. Well, you know, good luck with that. That's all I can tell you. Now, we're going to get to the 15th, and probably one of the bigger mistakes. It's like number three. It's one of the bigger mistaked areas, and that's the wrong domain name, okay? When discussing why some retailers are so successful, you're going to often hear what? It's the real estate thing, right? Location, location, location. On the Internet, location is your name. Location is easy to remember. Location, if your store is hidden away, nobody's going to find it. Okay? It's no different online, is it, as it is offline. And that's really what we're talking about here. I can't tell you how many website reviews I've done in which the owner has either used his business name or some varied version of it improperly. Let me give you some examples, and we're going to start right back with our existing sites. jmmechanical.com. It's jmmech.com. What's that? Maybe in the 1950s, people understood mechanical because of boilers. They understood mechanical being a plumber or being in a heating guy, right? Not today. You're in the air conditioning business, you're in the heating business, you're in the plumbing business. The mechanical aspect, that's commercial. You're looking for residential here. Stay away from that kind of stuff. Okay? Now, let's take a look at Nearing. Okay, nearingplumbing.com. That's a little better. Okay, that's a little better, but it really isn't descriptive, and it really doesn't do some things that it could do. Here are some common domain name mistakes and some tips on how to choose the correct domain name. Yeah, I'm going to get to that question. What if it's? I had the question up here. What if that domain name is? What's a great domain name taken? That's okay. Hang in with me. We're going to go through that. Don't be fooled. There's still a lot of great domain names out there. With some creativity and research, you can land yourself a great name. Okay, you always have to remember the number one rule in getting a domain name. If somebody wants to find your business on the web, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to type in your business name. So really, if you're known as Nearing Plumbing or Nearing.com, Nearing.com would be okay. Nearingplumbing.com is probably okay too, but JM Mechanical or JMMECH, abbreviated mechanical, not so good. The closer you get the domain name to your business name with no hyphens or abbreviations, okay, the more likely you're going to get found by your customers. Mistake number one here in the domain name area, using an extension other than .com. Don't do it. Okay, get.com. It's better to have a lesser popular name with a .com than to have exactly the name with a .net, info, or business, or some other nonsense like that. That was the first domain name people understood, and it's still today the driver, .com. Take the name of my company, Practical Marketing Solutions. I had to buy practicalmarketingsolution.com because there was a guy back east that owned Practical Marketing Solutions. Never used a domain name. Finally, I had to wait, but finally, he decided to go ahead and release the name, and I picked it up like that. Now I own both. So that's what you got to pay attention to. And I didn't. I have info in net, but they're for subdomains. They're not for my main domain name. So here's what we're going to do. A mistake. This is a domain name mistake thing. Hyphens is a huge problem. I see this all the time. Putting hyphens in a domain name confuses people. People aren't used to putting hyphens in when they type in. It's better to have a long, stretched out name than to put a hyphen in it. Now, dots, there's a mixed. As far as studies go, no dots. But as far as mixed goes, yeah, you could probably use a dot. But mistake number three is using an unnatural abbreviation in your name. Okay? Many times people will want to abbreviate their name like we saw in JM Mechanical. We put JMMECH, and it just doesn't work well. It's better to just spell it all out if you're going to use it. Here's another mistake that that is made in domain names. And that's not trying to use keywords in your domain name. Okay, keywords are something that really identifies you, aren't they? They're kind of your USP. See, Practical Marketing Solutions. That's my name, but it also, you type in Practical Marketing Solutions in any one of the search engines, and I guarantee I'm going to be in the top two or three. That's how that works. Now, here's mistake number five about domain names. Not making it easy to remember. Boy, is that a biggie. Let's suppose your business name is taken. Okay, your question over there. What if your business name's taken? What do you do next? Well, again, mine would be to find a catchy phrase that people will relate and remember to you. Okay? Here's a real good test. A real quick test for a good catchy domain name is to do what's called a radio test. Do as if you were on a radio commercial and you used your domain name, practicalmarketingsolutions.com. Now you're going to remember that. You see what I'm saying? So use that on the radio test. If it passes the radio test, that's great. Now we're going to do some interesting stuff here. I'm going to do a little search right now. I'm going to prove my point to you. Let's do a name search for these two websites. Okay? Now they're telling me that they don't have anything here, but boom, booyah, there we go. I'm going to type in furnacerepairutah.com. Bang, look at that. It's available. It costs like $11. Let's see what it can. I'm going to type in acrepairutah.com. Booyah, hit. Okay? Let's try the JM site, Heating Tips Utah. He had heating tips on there, right? He also had air conditioning tips. He had indoor air quality tips. Let's type in Heating Tips Utah.com. As my sons would say, booyah, there it is. It's available. That's an easy name to remember. Now, he could still name his main hosting is jmmach.com. He can buy that name, redirect it, and promote Heating Tips Utah. Why do I use Utah? Because that's where he does business, in Utah. Okay, heatingtipsutah.com. When anybody types in heating tips or heating Utah, boom, that's going to come up as well, isn't it? You getting the point here? Every one of those were pretty easy to pull up right away. And they're only like $10. So it's really easy to do. Okay? That's why our domain name is practicalmarketingsolutions.com. By the way, I also have my personal name, right? RichFidel.com. Why? Because people know me. They type in RichFidel.com. Where are they going to go? My website. See how this works? Now it's going to bring us to the last thing we're going to cover today, the 16th mistake, and it's called myopia. Anybody know what myopia is? It's what I focus on constantly. It's what my niche market's all about. Exactly. It's a vision defect, a lack of planning, a lack of foresight. That's what it is. Myopia. It's a lack of planning. Not taking time to develop a plan that has the target for results. That's the big mistake. Huge, huge mistake online and offline. Big mistake. What I mean is for your vision is you need to write it down. Take it out of your head, write it down, get a plan of action together. Now, you're going to be, we're handing out right now, we're going to be handing out this little booklet you're going to get here. Okay? Now, what this little booklet you're getting is, it's our website creation strategy booklet. It's going to ask you some basic questions, and it's going to cover some of the basic areas that I covered here today on these questions, and it's going to help you go through your website and plan out how to make corrections to your website. Okay? Every mistake we covered here is covered in that little booklet. Now, you've heard this before. Here's a mantra that you really want to put in your head. If you fail to plan, you already have a plan. What is it? Yeah, that plan is to fail. Now, I want to wrap this kind of up here. And while this list doesn't cover all the possible website mistakes, because there's actually came up with 74 of them, it does what? Describe some of the most expensive, destructive mistakes people make in small business online, especially the service sector industry makes these mistakes. It's relatively easy to produce a profitable result with well-planned, tested, proven web strategies. And that's my point here. However, it's easier to lose thousands of dollars worth of business with these mistakes. Now, I want to close with basically giving you, get your pencils out, because I'm going to give you seven things I believe every home page should have on it if you're in the service business. So you ready to copy these seven things down? Okay? Your web page, home page, is like the storefront. It's like your face. It's like it needs to invite people in, doesn't it? The difference with a website and a home page is you're about 15 seconds to generate interest. So in order to attract more visitors deeper into your site, your home page needs to say, come on in. Here's number one. It should have compelling headlines that invite your reader to read more about how you can help them, benefit from them. Two, it should have your company's USP buried in everything. Three, it should have a call to action, an offer that prompts the viewer to either contact you, purchase something from you, or sign up for something. It should have powerful guarantees. I like that ironclad guarantee that guy had in there. Have powerful guarantees. A promise that reduces the risk to using your services. It should have graphics with some people on it, a picture, maybe even the owner on the front page. Smaller picture, nothing overwhelming. It's not about the owner, but it's just about saying hi, because people like to know who they're dealing with. If possible, it should be picture. You might even have a picture of the owner and a picture of a client testimonial, something like that. Seven, it should have testimonials, no more than a couple. Just like I said, those are the seven elements I think you should have on your front page for consumers. Big time. If you have these key elements on your home page and they're presented tastefully, not overwhelmingly, you'll generate trust and willingness to do business with you. I believe that, and studies have proven this out. What's your website for? What's your most wanted response? Mine is educating you on what you need to know.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each presentation. Please feel free to give us a call with your comments. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandy and Associates. If we can be of service to you, please give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Or check out our website, www.grandyassociates.com. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.